إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ. Look at Allah's love for us. After describing hell, instantly He reassures us that that's not the only option available. For those who follow Allah's path, there is an option of Jannah. Indeed, the Allah conscious will be in gardens and springs. Udkhuluha bisalam, aminin. It will be said to them, enter therein in peace and tranquility. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. And we shall remove from their hearts any feeling of bitterness. They will be like brothers facing each other on thrones. لَا يَمُصُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. No sense of fatigue shall touch them, and nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. In this description of Jannah, we find two things. We find external peace, beautiful surroundings, and internal peace. Because sometimes we can be living in mansions, but if we are upset, or we are depressed, or we are having problems with someone else, then our hearts are constrained and suffocated. And that grandeur that we are living amidst does not help us. So Allah says it won't just be external peace, it will be internal peace as well. No fatigue shall touch them. Allah says we shall remove from their hearts any feeling of bitterness. Sometimes we find two very good people, both obeying Allah, both fearing Allah, and yet they have deep resentment towards each other. So Allah says that before they are made to enter Jannah, their feelings of rancor and bitterness will be cleansed from their hearts, so that there is no resentment, no inner hatred, that they are bearing each other in Jannah. And Allah says they will be like brothers facing each other on thrones. No sense of fatigue shall even touch them. Not only will they not be feeling exhausted, fatigue will not even touch them. No negative feeling, no negative emotion, nothing but joy and peace. Nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. Eternally healthy, eternally young, eternal dwellers of that Jannah.
We find in a beautiful story from the Sunnah that once an old woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will the old people enter Jannah?
And because he had a great sense of humor, he said, no.
And the woman started crying loudly.
Hazrat Aisha reproached him and said, look, you made this woman cry.
And then he said, they will be made young first. Allah says, nor shall they ever be asked to leave it. That will be the greatest joy of all. In this world, any blessing that we receive, if you think back to any time of happiness that you've been through, and what is our greatest fear? I wonder how long these good times will last. You know, that insecurity is always there. How long is it going to be here? But in Jannah, there will be no such fears. لا خوف عليهم. No fears. ولا هم يحزنون. Nor will they grieve. نبي عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم. Tell my slaves. Not tell the Muslims. Not tell those who were born Muslims. Tell my slaves. Those who obey me above all. Those who love me above all. Those who fear me above all. أني أنا الغفور الرحيم. That I am the forgiving, the most merciful. Now we too say that, don't we? Oh, Allah is غفور الرحيم. Allah is not going to ask me about something like that. I know how much Allah loves me. No, Allah is saying, tell my slaves. We need to become His slaves first, and then He will be غفور الرحيم for us. وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. Don't just rely upon that rahmah. Tell them that my torment is indeed the most painful torment. It was a scholar who once said that the believer sees his sins as a mountain that he is afraid might descend upon him. Whereas the fajr, the wicked person, the sinner, sees them like flies which he's just brushing away. Now let's think about our own lives. We have a tendency to trivialize sin. Oh, just a little white lie that I told. Oh, just one prayer that I missed. Oh, just one prayer that I read qaza. Oh, just one day that I didn't remember Allah at all. Oh, just one day that I said that word of gossip which I shouldn't have said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu qabla al-maut. The truly intelligent person is one who analyzes himself, who does hisab of himself before he dies. And the fool is one who follows his desires and trusts in Allah's mercy and trusts in that Allah will forgive him. This is the gist of the hadith. Allah says, tell my slaves that I am the forgiving, the most merciful, but also tell them that my torment is indeed the most painful torment. وَنَبِّئْهُمْ عَنْ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Allah tells us a story which illustrates both His mercy and His wrath. Tell them about the guests of Ibrahim. When they entered to him and said, Salama, peace, Ibrahim said, indeed we are afraid of you, because he didn't recognize them. The angel said, do not be afraid. We give you good tidings of a boy possessing much knowledge and wisdom. Ibrahim said, do you give me good tidings of a son when old age has overtaken me? Of what then is your news? قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ The angel said, we give you good news in truth, so do not be of those who despair. Now obviously Ibrahim alayhi salam is astounded. He's an old man. His wife is barren. He says, what news are you giving me? So when they reassure him, he says, وَمَنْ يَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ Who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are astray? Look at his love for Allah. According to biblical accounts, he was 100 years old. We pray for 1 month and if our prayer isn't answered, we say, oh, I'm angry with Allah. Allah is not hearing my prayers. What does he say? Who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except those who are astray? Ibrahim then said, what then is the business on which you have come, O messengers? The angel said, we have been sent to a people who are criminals. All except the family of Lut, all of them we will surely save. Except his wife, of whom we have decreed that she shall be of those who remain behind. Why was Lut alayhi salam's wife punished with the people who had sinned? Because she condoned their crime. She was not participating in their sin, but she condoned their crime. And nowadays also we find people even have defined an attitude whereby when you're discriminating against homosexuality and they call it homophobia. That's how messed up their thinking is. This woman was punished because she condoned their crime. And she said, so what's the big deal? Let them do what they want to do. Live and let live. And for that she was punished as well. Then when the messengers came to the family of Lut, he said, indeed you are people unknown to me. They said, no, we have come to you with that torment which they have been doubting. And we have brought you the truth, and certainly we tell the truth. Then travel in a part of the night with your family, and you go behind them in the rear, and let no one amongst you look back, but go on to where you are ordered. And we made known this decree to him, that the root of those sinners was going to be cut off in the early morning. And the inhabitants of the city came rejoicing. Why did they rejoice? It said that Lut alayhi salam's wife told them that these beautiful young men have come, because the angels had come in the shape of young men. Lut alayhi salam said, indeed these are my guests, so do not shame me, and fear Allah, and do not humiliate me. The people of the city said, did we not forbid you from entertaining any of the world? In other words, they said, why have you undertaken our responsibility? Just leave us alone. Lut alayhi salam said, these are my daughters. If you must act so. In other words, he was trying to exhort them to adopt a halal course rather than adopt this haram action which they had, you know, taken upon themselves. La amruka, indeed by your life, in their wild intoxication, they were wandering blindly. Look at the contempt in Allah's words. Allah says that these people were so steeped in their sin, so steeped in that debauchery that it was as if they were drunk. They didn't know what they were doing. That's how obsessed they were with satisfying their own lust. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ So the awful cry overtook them at the time of sunrise. And we turned the towns upside down and we rained down on them stones of baked clay. As I mentioned earlier, every possible azab overtook these people. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ Indeed in this are signs for people of perception. That whether we are participating in a sin or we are condoning it, then in Allah's eyes we are the same. And indeed these cities were right on the high road. Surely there is indeed a sign for the believers. And the dwellers in the wood were also wrongdoers, so we took vengeance on them. They are both on an open highway, plain to see. And indeed the dwellers of the rocky track denied the messengers, and we gave them our signs, but they were averse to them. And they used to hew out dwellings from the mountains, feeling themselves secure. But the awful cry overtook them in the early morning. And all that they used to earn did not avail them. Allah mentions their dwellings in the mountains. And the 8th century traveler, Ibn Battuta, also commented on their superb dwellings. See, that's not the criterion. Their achievements, their advancements were not the criterion. What was the criterion? Their iman and obeying of Allah. And when they rejected the signs of Allah, then all that technology and all that advancement did not help them at all. All they used to earn did not help them. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And we did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except with truth. In other words, there's a purpose to this life. We're not just here to have a good time and then die. And that's it, end of story. We are here to earn something for ourselves, to send something ahead of us. As the hadith says, when man dies, people ask, what is he left behind? How many homes? How many cars? And the angels ask, what has he sent ahead? We need to focus on what we are sending ahead. We did not create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except with truth. وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَا. And the hour is surely coming. This day of judgment will come. And we need to remember that our day of judgment starts the day we die. So overlook their faults with gracious forgiveness. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, your Lord is the all-knowing creator. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمُ. Indeed, we have bestowed upon you 7 repeatedly recited verses and this awesome Qur'an. Look not with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them, nor grieve over them. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower your wings for the believers. Now what are these 7 repeatedly verses? We learn from a hadith that this is Surah Fatiha. Now I'd like to read out a hadith Qudsi about Surah Fatiha, because we read this surah every day in our salat without thinking about what its true meaning is, about the implications of Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided prayer between me and my slave, and for my slave is what he asks. For when my slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, I say, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. When my slave says, Ar-Rahmani Rahim, I say, Asna Alayya Abdi, my slave has glorified me. When my slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, I say, my slave has exalted me, Majjadani Abdi. And when my slave says, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, I say, this is between me and my slave, and my slave shall have what he asks for. And when my slave says, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, Siratul Ladina An'amta Alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, I say, this is for my slave, and my slave shall have what he asks for. In other words, when we read Fatiha, we're having a conversation with Allah. Now, because of that, some scholars even say that after reading each verse of Fatiha, we should pause. We should wait for Allah's response. If you're talking to someone, you won't just go on talking, you'll wait for their answer. So every time we read Fatiha, we need to be acutely conscious that the greater the fervor with which we read these ayat, inshallah, Allah will respond and tell us that this is for my slave and my slave shall have what he asks for. Allah says the 7 repeatedly recited verses, وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمُ, this awesome Qur'an, of whom Allah says, هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, it is better than all that they collect. And what have we made this Qur'an today? Something neglected. Something we ignore till the month of Ramzan comes and then people say, oh, I've read 10 Qur'ans this Ramzan. This Qur'an is not just magic words. It's a book of guidance. It's a code book on our life. It's a source of strength. هُوَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينَ. It's Allah's rope with which we can connect ourselves to Him. But we need to seek Him first. Allah says, look not with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them. Now what's the link between the two verses? Allah is reminding us Muslims that when we have been given a treasure like this Quran, then we should not envy people their worldly grandeur. Like people generally say, well, why are the Muslims living in poor countries? And why are the non-Muslims prospering so much? Allah says, do not look with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them, nor grieve over them. This should be the vision of the mu'mineen, that we should be rejoicing so much in this Qur'an, that we realize that this world is something contemptible in Allah's eyes. What is the vision of the mu'min as regards his attitude towards wealth? The Prophet ﷺ told us once, unzur fi dunya ila man huwa dunak. In the world, you should look at someone who is lower than you. We look at people who have been given more than us and we moan and we lament and say, why have they been given so much? Why couldn't I have been given such wealth, such grandeur? The Prophet said, when it comes to the dunya, look at one who is beneath you, who is suffering, who is underneath you, who is less than you. And he told us, وَأُنْظُرْ فِي الدِّينِ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكَ. And when it comes to deen, look at one who is above you. And we do the exact opposite. When it comes to deen, we look at people who are sinning day and night and we say, well, at least I'm not as bad as she is. And when it comes to dunya, we look at people who have been given much more than us and we say, why doesn't Allah love me? Allah says, do not look with your eyes ambitiously at what we have bestowed on certain classes of them. We find from a hadith, the gist of which is that when Allah gives someone the Quran and then he covets some worldly treasure or is impressed by some other worldly knowledge, then he has despised the Quran. And lower your wings for the believers. Don't just be flattering or sucking up to the non-Muslims, lower your wings for the believers. How does Allah describe the perfect Muslim ummah? أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Harsh towards the disbelievers, humble towards the believers. لا يخافون لوم تلائم, not fearing the blames of anyone who blames. What is Islam? No compromise and no apologies. That's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Not the apologetic attitude most of us have towards Islam. وقل إني أنا النذير المبين. Tell them, I am indeed a plain warner. And we have sent down on those who divide. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ. Those who have made the Qur'an into parts. Now who are these people? This refers to the Jewish sects. When the Jews split up into different sects. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, the Jews became 71 sects, the Christians became 72 sects, and the Muslims will become 73 sects. All of them in the fire except those who follow the path on which I and my companions are today. But this ayat needs to be understood. Who have made the Qur'an into parts, who have divided it up. Now let's think of our Qur'an khanis, where we find people sitting together and saying, you read one page and I'll read another page. What sort of a mockery is this? If we're reading a book, if we have to study a book for a course, would I tell my sister, you come up and read one page and I'll read the other page? No, I need to study the whole thing myself. Then we find people who read pansuras daily, and that's all they read. Pansuras containing special selection of surahs, and that's it. They've never even read the whole Qur'an. Then we find people who read the Qur'an only in Ramzan, who think, oh, that's it, the Qur'an is for Ramzan. And if I've read it in Ramzan, oh, I've done my duty. And I've read 10 Qur'ans this Ramzan. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ. Those who have made the Qur'an into parts. And what is the most frightening implication of this ayat? When people obey part of the Qur'an and disobey part of the Qur'an. Allah asks us, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ. Do you believe in part of the Qur'an? That, oh, I can follow this part. I can read my prayers, but I'm not going to read Surah Nur because Surah Nur talks about hijab. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِذِينَ. The Qur'an is one whole. We can't just take portions for our own convenience. That is the attitude of hypocrisy. As Allah tells us, كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْفِي. What does the hypocrite do? When it's light for him, he walks. When it's easy, when everyone's praying, he'll get up and pray. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. But when it's dark, they halt. We need to be careful that our attitude towards the Qur'an is that of reverence, is that of internalizing this book as a whole, not just parts of it. فَوَرَبِّكَ لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Why should we bother? Why should we read the whole Qur'an? Allah tells us. So by your Lord, we shall certainly ask all of them for all that they used to do. It's not that, oh, I can do what I like because Allah loves me. Allah is saying we shall ask all of them. No one's been excluded from this ayah for all that they used to do. At the end of the day, it's our actions that count. Therefore, proclaim openly that which you are commanded. Again and again, Allah inculcates fearlessness into us. Don't apologize. Don't compromise. Proclaim openly that which you are commanded and turn away from those who do shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ once said, the worst false god that is followed on earth is man's own nafs. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Truly, we will suffice you against those who scoff. Do people laugh at you? Do people brand you a fanatic? Allah is saying, we will suffice you against those who scoff. We should be proud that Allah is offering His protection.
to those of us who seek it. Who are the scoffers? Those who set up with Allah another God. But they will come to know.
وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ.
Indeed, we know that your breast is straightened at what they say. Allah is saying here that I know it hurts you when people make fun of you. I know it hurts you when people say, oh, don't start off on that boring talk again. But فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Don't listen to them. Glorify the praises of your Lord.
وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ.
And be of those who prostrate themselves. Now there are different aspects of sajda. One is the sajda we do in salat. Above all, we need to remember sajda symbolizes surrender of this intellect before Allah. When I say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. Glorify the praises of your Lord and be of those who prostrate themselves.
وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ.
And worship your Lord. Your Lord. He is our Rabb. He has created us. He is nurturing us. He is nourishing us. Why should we care for what people say when it is Allah who has given us everything we have? When it is Allah who will give us everything we can ever hope to have?
Worship your Lord. What does worship mean?
Obedience. Until there comes to you the certainty of the Day of Judgment.
Surah An-Nahl, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ata Amrullahi, Fala Tasta'jilu.
The decision ordained by Allah has come. What decision was this? The decision of Hijra. So seek not to hasten it. Glorified and exalted be He above all that they associate as partners with Him. He sends down the angels with the revelation of His command, to whom of His slaves He will, saying,
أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ.
Warn mankind that none has the right to be worshipped but I, so fear me alone.
خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ.
Allah has created the heavens and the earth with truth. High is He, exalted above all that they associate as partners with Him. He has created man from a drop. Then behold, this same man becomes an open opponent. Among the themes of Surah Nahl, we find the theme of ignorance and knowledge. Again and again, Allah reminds us what we were and how dare we set ourselves up against Allah. What is our origin? That despicable drop that you just look at it and you feel sick. That's where we all came from. Allah says, this is what man was. And look at him. He becomes an open opponent. Arguing against Allah, arguing against the truth of this Quran. No, I don't believe in the truth of the Quran. Oh, I don't believe in organized religion. Oh, I don't believe in God. Allah says, doesn't man consider what he came from? What gave him the right? What gave him the authority to set himself up as this great world leader? And cattle, he has created them for you. In them there is warmth and numerous benefits. Milk, medicine.
وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ.
And of them you eat. And wherein is beauty for you when you bring them home in the evening and as you lead them forth to pasture in the morning. Look at the universe Allah has created for us. We find beauty and benefits. It appeals to us artistically, it appeals to us aesthetically, as well as satisfying our needs. They carry your loads to a land that you could not reach except with great trouble to yourselves.
إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Indeed, your Lord is full of kindness, most merciful. Why has Allah said رَبَّكُمْ? Allah is reminding us that He didn't just create us, He is nourishing us. He is sustaining us every second of the day. And Allah has created horses, mules and donkeys for you to ride wazina and as an adornment. Look at the beauty of horses that Allah has created.
وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
And He will create other things of which you have no knowledge. Now this refers to all future modes of transport, space travel, future modes that perhaps we don't even know of.
وَعَلَى اللَّهِ قَصْدُ السَّبِيلِ وَمِنْهَا جَائِرٌ.
After telling us of all that Allah has created for us, Allah says, upon Allah is the responsibility to explain the straight path. But there are other paths that turn aside. And had He willed, He could have guided all of you. What exactly does this ayat mean? We can understand it from a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, the gist of what was, Allah has related an example of a straight path. And on both sides of the path are two walls, in which are open doors. Upon the doors, there are curtains which are hanging down. In the door of the path, in other words, just before the path starts, is a caller calling out, يا أيها الناس هلما ادخلوا الصراط المستقيم جميعا ولا تفرقوا. Calling out, O mankind, come, enter the straight path all together and do not be divided. And there is another caller calling out above the path. Whenever man decides to open one of those doors, he says, woe betide you, do not open it, because if you open it, you will enter it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, he said, this straight path is Islam. The two walls that are on either sides of the path are hududullah, the limits set by Allah, the boundaries designed by Allah. What are the open doors and the walls? They are all those things forbidden by Allah. The caller in the middle of the path is the Quran. In other words, this Quran explains to us the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. The Quran gives us the strength, gives us the perception to discover and follow the straight path. And the caller above the path, Wa'izullahi fi qalbi kulli muslimin, is the conscience that Allah has placed in the heart of every Muslim. That every time we're about to sin, every time we're about to do something Allah has forbidden, we have that little voice in our heart which says, don't do it, think about it. Allah says, upon Allah is the responsibility to explain the straight path. But there are other paths, many other paths, many other creeds, many other persuasive cults. And had Allah willed, He would have guided all of mankind. The answer to people's complaint, why doesn't Allah guide us? Because that's the test. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ, so we can test you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which of you is best indeed? If Allah had just created us like angels programmed for obedience, then where was the test? The test starts because Allah says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, the nafs in which Allah has created a measure of goodness and a measure of evil. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, the one who purifies his nafs, he is the one who succeeded. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, the one who stunts his soul, who represses his soul, he is the one who has failed. That's the test. Allah says, had He willed, He could have guided all of you. That was not difficult for Him. But then where was the test? It is Allah who sends down water from the sky. From it you drink, and from it grows the vegetation, on which you send your cattle to pasture. Now you'll have noticed that again and again Allah keeps on referring to water and the blessing of rain. Why? We know that our planet is the only planet in the solar system which contains water. And if there was no water, Earth would be a dead planet. We could not live. So because water is the source of life, Allah reminds us that it is He who has given this blessing to us. From it you drink, and from it grows the vegetation, on which you send your cattle to pasture. With it He causes to grow for you the grapes, the olives, the date palms, and every kind of fruit. Indeed, in this is an evident proof for people yatafakkaroon, who reflect. And He has subjected to you the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, and the stars are subjected by His command. Indeed, in this are proofs for people, yaqiloon, who use their intellect. We can see clearly that Allah wants the mu'min to study the universe as well as study the Quran, because there are signs in the universe as well. What was the first knowledge given to Adam alayhi salam? Allama Adama al-asma'a kullaha. Allah taught Adam the names of all the things. He taught him conceptual thought. He taught him the secrets of the universe. That's the ibadah Allah wants from us. That by exploring this universe, we should grow closer to Him. Whatsoever He has created for you on the earth of varying colors. See how Allah turns our attention to the beauty of all that He has created, at the variety, at the different colors Allah has created for us. Indeed, and this is a sign for people who take heed. يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Three things have been mentioned here. Reflection, using our intellect, and then taking heed. Not just that we become, you know, scientists and we become great doctors and we've discovered everything, but we're not believing in Allah. At the end of the day, we need to take heed. We need to remember that He is Rabbul Alameen, and so we have to worship Him alone. It is Allah who has subjected the sea to you, that you eat thereof fresh tender meat, and that you bring forth out of it ornaments to wear, pearls, and you see the ships cleaving through it, that you may seek thus of His bounty, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you may be grateful. Why does Allah mention the ships here? We take the ships as a proof of our advancement, of our technology. It was Allah who gave us the intellect to develop the technology. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, in order that you thank Him. Not that we say, oh, it's an unsinkable ship.
لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
That's ibadah, that we acknowledge Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah, Rabb of the world. And He has affixed into the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and paths that you may guide yourselves, and landmarks, and by the stars they guide themselves. Now we find Allah mentions the mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you. Now interestingly we find that modern geologists describe the folds in the earth as giving foundations to mountains, and the stability of the earth's crust results from these folds. Who taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this knowledge? 1400 years ago, again and again Allah gives us proofs of this Quran's divine source.